pride is an illusion, a lie, and a theft.
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about some things which may be helpful for those who are going back to school, or for those parents whose children are going back to school. I was talking yesterday about self-esteem. I think you've heard me mention that word more than once, and it's not a word that I like very much because it puts the emphasis on the self. The verses with which I open my program every day, "You are loved with an everlasting love," would be a much better concept to concentrate on, rather than, "Do I feel good about myself?" The fact that I am a self means, of course, that I can't avoid thinking about myself completely, but I certainly can avoid concentrating on myself. And if this self is aware of the fact that there's something far greater in control, something that loves me with an everlasting love, that alters my concept of myself. I think it ought to alter yours to hear those words. You are loved with an everlasting love. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That should be comforting to students in school who have many reasons to feel unsure of themselves and perhaps unloved and unnoticed. Let me read to you from St. John Eudes. Don't ask me who he was. E-U-D-E-S. I haven't any idea. Came across this quotation, though, which I wanted to read to you. "Pride is an illusion, a lie, and a theft. And since it is a truth of faith that we are nothing, he who esteems himself and thinks that he is someone is a seducer who deceives himself." Now, there's some ancient wisdom here. Please don't get angry at this woman, Elizabeth Elliot, who's always bashing the idea of self-esteem. We need to be reminded of some very ancient truths by some much greater thinkers than myself. So let me read St. John Eudes again. "Pride is an illusion, a lie, and a theft. Since it is a truth of faith that we are nothing, he who esteems himself and thinks that he is someone is a seducer who deceives himself." And St. Augustine, listen to this. "There is something in humility that strangely exalts the heart." And St. Paul, "Don't cherish inflated ideas of your own importance." Now, humility is the simple truth about ourselves, God's estimate of what we are. My dear friend Dorothy Collins used to say, "A Christian is a person who accepts God's estimate of him and the remedy." Now, what is God's estimate of us? Sinners. We are all sinners. The Bible says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But it also says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Doctors aren't in the business of condemning people to death by telling them they have cancer. Doctors are there in order to help people who do have cancer and to tell them the truth about themselves so that they can do something about it. Jesus himself used the analogy of the physician. The physician did not come for the well, but for the sick. And so the sooner we recognize God's definition of us as sinners, and the more humble we are in our self-estimate, then the sooner we can receive God's remedies. I know that I'm in need of constant correction, help, and encouragement. I need all the help I can get. I need rebukes, too, and I get them from some of you. I got two letters last week that were zingers, and I mean they were zingers. But in the mercy of God, there were a couple of letters in the same mail that encouraged me. So I need your rebukes. I need your encouragement. And so do our children. I was talking with my daughter not long ago, and she has a friend who has never had any encouragement from her mother in her life. And while Valerie was telling this sad story and describing in detail some of the ways in which the mother really did nothing but discourage the child, I suddenly was thinking to myself, horrors, what kind of encouragement did I give Valerie? And so I asked her, I said, did I ever give you any? And she assured me that I did, but probably not enough. God's treatment of his children includes the rod and the staff. And in the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, those two implements were used for both correction and encouragement. Correction, protection, rescue, encouragement. You've seen that famous painting, haven't you, of the shepherd reaching down over a ravine, over a cliff, to a lamb that's caught in a thorn bush. And he takes his staff that has a crook in the end and rescues the lamb. One of the ways in which you parents can rescue your children is by setting a time and a place for homework and insisting that nothing else will be done until the homework is done. No TV, no distractions of any kind until after the homework is done. Now, it may be a good idea to allow your children to go out for play as soon as they get home from school. That's what we did, to have a chance to play before supper. But we always came in about an hour, I think it was an hour or half an hour before supper, because we had to practice the piano and set the table, and sometimes we had time for homework before supper. But evenings were set aside for homework, and each of us children was given a special place in which we were expected to be when homework time came around. Show an interest in your children. Offer help when it's needed, not when it's not. And help means help. It doesn't mean doing the job for the child. Encourage them to do the hardest assignment first. Do it now. Do it thoroughly. Do it neatly. And then, when that's done, what do you do next? The next thing. Do the next thing. James Reed wrote, it is wholly impossible to live according to divine order and to make a proper application of heavenly principles as long as the necessary duties which each day brings seem only like a burden grievous to be borne. Not till we are ready to throw our very life's love into the troublesome little things can we be really faithful in that which is least, and faithful also in much. Every day that dawns brings something to do, which can never be done as well again. We should, therefore, try to do it ungrudgingly and cheerfully. It is the Lord's own work, which he has given us as surely as he gives us daily bread. You who go to school, do you think of your schoolwork as the Lord's work? It's the work he's given you to do, isn't it? Just as surely as he gives you daily bread. We should thank him for it with all our hearts, as much as for any other gift. This work was designed to be our life and our happiness. Instead of shirking it or hurrying over it, we should put our whole heart and soul into it. And I gave you a little poem the other day that I'll repeat again. If a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or, do you remember the last three words? Not at all. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all. Real self-esteem comes from real achievement. You parents who teach your children a habit of work will be teaching them one of the most important things you can ever teach them. And the habit of work is learned by refraining from the pleasant for the sake of the necessary. The habit of work is learned by refraining from the pleasant for the sake of the necessary. You don't eat your ice cream until you've had your spinach. Patience, thoroughness, perseverance. Stick with the job. When you get too tired, leave it and do a different job. But remember to come back to it. Finish it. And then do the next thing.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.